This is an amazing chapter, boy. Boy, you read this and you can't help but be amazed at the victory you have in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what this is about. This is about being in Jesus Christ. And just to point out a few things that Romans 8 talks about, the Christian life and being in Christ, it looks like this. It looks like walking in the Spirit. That's what being in Christ looks like. It's one that's walking in the Spirit. It's one that loves God. And it's also one that suffers for His name, suffers for Him. But being in Christ, that's where we want to be found, right? Boy, that's where you want to be found. And if you have not been found in Christ, if you're not in Christ today, there's nothing more important for you than that. If you are outside of Christ, then you are out. You're going to be in outer darkness one day. You're going to be away from Christ. But Christ has offered us salvation. And boy, Romans chapter 8 talks about the victory we have in Christ. Romans chapter 5, I mean, if you just continue down it, you know, Romans chapter 5 talks about the justification that we have in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 just shows how the conclusion and the finishing victory, what victory there is in Christ and our life with Him. So I want to look through Romans chapter 8 today. Well, of course we can, we're not going to be able to go in depth on any of it because there's so much here. But I just want to point out the promises that we have in Romans chapter 8. I just want to look at those and talk about them a little bit. So Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start with verse 1. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Let's start with prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the life that You've given us today. We thank You, Lord, that You've given us the ability to wake up and participate in life again today, Lord. We just ask that we would hear from You today. We ask that Your will would be present in our minds. We want to live for You, Lord Jesus, and we know that we want to be guided by Your Word. And so, Lord, we open Your Word this morning, and we ask that You would encourage us. We ask that You'd give us boldness. We ask that You'd give us guidance. Lord Jesus, we look to You, and we cannot wait to see You one day soon. Lord, we want You to come back. We want to be with You where You are. Lord Jesus, come soon. We want to see You. Thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's the first promise that we see. It's right out, right off the bat, right? In the first verse of the chapter, He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." That's a promise that you have if you are in Christ. The promise that you have that you are in Christ is that you will not go through condemnation. You will not be condemned. Now, condemnation is a real thing. It's a true thing. God is a just and holy God. He inhabits eternity. He inhabits it and He dwells in the holy place. And so sin cannot approach Him. There is none of us that can just approach God without any type of cleansing because we are sinful. Amen. And condemnation is real because God, the Holy One, the Just One, is going to carry out judgment. And we all fall short. We all fall guilty. And therefore, if you are not in Jesus Christ, you will be condemned. This is the reality of being outside of Jesus Christ. But Jesus made the offer. Jesus paid the price. He died on the cross. He gave His life so that the just would give His life for the unjust and make us the righteousness of God in Him. This is an amazing promise that you have in Jesus Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful verse. If you want to have some security in your life, you know, you talk about eternal security. You talk about salvation that you cannot lose. You want some confidence in Christ. Read this verse. Memorize this verse. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation." Amen. That is a beautiful verse. That's a beautiful promise that you have in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation. When there was before, when there was before you in yourself, there you were hopeless. And isn't that where he's coming from? He's coming from Romans chapter 7, which is a big, big hopelessness in himself. He looks at himself and he says, in me, there is no good thing, right? He says, I see another law in me, and this is the sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This is what you have in yourself. But you see, the promise in Jesus Christ is that I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, because he is the one that gives you victory from that. And so he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That is a beautiful promise that you have in Christ. And that's one thing. Like I said, you can go to this chapter and be encouraged whenever you read it, because there's so much here. When you find that you're in Jesus Christ, you have so many truths, so many assurances, so many promises that are found in Christ Jesus. Now, what does it look like to be in Christ? Well, I think this is just an ongoing thing. Once you're in Christ, this is what it looks like. You walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Now, if you read from verse 2 all the way to 12, you're going to find that you have, you could call this, and I call this a promise, that is the promise that you have the freedom from flesh. You realize that now in Christ, you do not have to live according to the flesh. Amen. You are free from the flesh. You can live and you can walk in the Spirit. This is an amazing thing. This is a beautiful thing, because you're free from that law that he was talking about in the previous chapter, that law of sin and death. You're free from that. You don't have to walk in that. You don't have to walk in sin and death continually. You now have the Spirit abiding in you, and you can walk in the Spirit. That is an amazing thing. And that's something that we may sometimes just not focus on enough. You have the power over sin.
Amen.
That power is found in the Spirit. The Spirit that dwells in you. You don't have to live in sin.
Right. Amen.
You can live in the Spirit. You can walk in the Spirit. Look at what he says. I'll read in verse 12 and 13. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Look, you, and just consider in God's eyes, in God's viewpoint, you are dead to the flesh. You're dead. You've already died. If you've died, then you shouldn't be walking in the flesh anymore. And this is the beautiful thing about the Christian life. If you are in Christ, you can be free from the flesh.
Amen.
You don't have to walk in the flesh. You can walk in the Spirit. And that's a beautiful promise. That's a beautiful thing to know as a Christian. You can walk in the Spirit. Now, I don't think we as Christians should walk around with an excuse in our minds. Well, we're men. Well, we're just, I mean, come on, we're not in heaven yet. I mean, come on, we don't have a perfect body yet. We're not glorified yet. And so, you know, we're just here in the flesh. No, we shouldn't think that way. We should think, listen, God has given me a promise that I can live in the Spirit.
Amen.
You know that God says that you cannot be tempted more than what you can take, more than what you can bear? He's made it a point. This is one of his promises. He's not going to give you more than you can bear.
Amen.
If you're falling into temptation, you're falling into sin, and you're going through with it, that's not God's fault. God is only giving you enough that you can bear.
Amen.
But you do decide whether you want to walk in the flesh or whether you want to walk in the Spirit. God gives you that ability. You do have that choice. And if you walk in the flesh, you're walking in death. Now, that doesn't mean the second death. That doesn't mean, there's a lot of different types of death. The Bible talks about death a lot, and there's different types. I think there's probably five or six different ways to understand what death he's talking about. And I think what he's talking about here is the death of the just the practical death. Like, you know, whenever it says whenever it talks about the miracle that it was that Abraham and Sarah had a baby, right? It was a miracle. Why? Because he says, well, their bodies were dead. They weren't dead physically. They were dead because they couldn't bear fruit. They were old and dead. Their bodies that were able to produce fruit were dead. And so they were dead. And if you walk in the flesh, then you're walking in death.
Right. Amen.
You are, I guess to put it another way, would just be called useless. Right? You're useless. If you're walking in the flesh, you are useless to God. In fact, he says in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You see, that's what it is. When you're walking in the flesh, you cannot please God. But we as Christians have an incredible promise, and that is that we don't have to walk in the flesh. We have the ability to walk in the Spirit. That's a beautiful thing. And you need to be reminded of that. You can walk in the Spirit. You can walk in life. You can live your life in life. Actually be useful to God. Meet for the Master's use. Wow, a tool in God's hand. It's a beautiful thing that you have. What an amazing assurance that you can actually walk in the Spirit and be useful to God and please Him. So, to me, I think we just have to keep in mind the spiritual things. I think Christians should have our minds on spiritual things.
Amen.
And that's where our eyes should be. That's why the Bible talks about, you know, lifting our eyes, looking unto the author and finisher of the faith. We should not be looking at the carnal things, at the physical things. There's more to it. And we as Christians should have just flown past it. We're not bogged down with the things of this life anymore. We're looking further into the future. We're looking at the reality of things. And that's the spiritual world that God tells us about. And that's a beautiful promise that we have in Christ. We can be free from the flesh. Verse 10 and 11, while he's working on that, he says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." There's another promise you can underline right there. You can highlight. That is the promise, the guarantee of resurrection. There is a guarantee that you are going to be resurrected. You're going to be resurrected one day with a glorified body. You're going to be like Jesus.
Amen.
This is an amazing promise. This is an amazing thing that you can have the hope of resurrection. Think about what he says. The Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Again, we have to be reminded of this. You have the Spirit of God living in you.
Amen.
You need to start living with that. You need to start having that in your mind. Let that be what wakes you up, and you want to walk your day walking in that Spirit. The Spirit of God, the one that raised Jesus up from the dead, it lives in you.
Amen.
It dwells in you. What an amazing thing. And the promise that you have right here is that He will also quicken your mortal body.
Amen.
One day, you will be resurrected.
Amen.
This is a beautiful promise, an amazing thing, that the great truth that you can get courage by when you're lacking it. Whenever you're having a bad day, whenever you're having a bad week or month or year, go to Romans chapter 8 and remember, boy, what you have in Christ, it goes far beyond what you may be feeling right here, right now. It's a spiritual truth that He gives you and spiritual promises He gives you. And one of those is the promise of resurrection. Resurrection. I'm going to read verse 14 and 16. And this is the promise of fatherly direction. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God."
Amen.
Wow. What a promise. You have been transformed by being in Christ. You have been transformed and now you have a relationship with God where He actually has made you His child. And He treats you as a father and He will guide you. It doesn't, is that what He says? He says that He did that for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You see, you become a son of God and He has a promise, He's gonna lead you.
Amen.
He's gonna guide you. And isn't that what Jesus was anticipating? He was praying for, He was hoping for, He was telling the disciples about what's gonna happen. The Comforter's gonna come. This Comforter is gonna come and He's gonna guide you to all truth. He's gonna be the one that's leading you in your walk. You will be guided, you will be led by a father. What an amazing thing. Now this requires you to follow. Right?
Yeah.
Amazing, all these promises, they're there. It's like He has them there for you to grab. You just have to reach out and grab them, He's there. The promises are there. But you know, if you don't want to follow, then the leading isn't going to do any good. But He does lead, and He will lead you. This is a promise that you have, and you can trust, and you can pray for, and you can act upon. You can ask God to guide you and lead you, and you can learn how to follow.
Amen.
Follow God. Let Him lead. Let the Word of God speak to you and move the way you should go. Let it change your direction. Let it guide you what roads to go down. You should be led of the Spirit because that is a promise that you have. God will treat you as a son and guide you. It's a fatherly direction. And Jesus and God is our perfect Father. He gives us good directions, right?
Amen.
Like in Hebrews, it says that, yeah, we're chastised by our human fathers. And that's not always, you know, in the wisest way, you know. Our fathers make mistakes here on earth. But He says, our Father in heaven, our Father, God, He doesn't make mistakes and He guides us correctly and He will guide you. But you need to recognize that this is a promise that you have in Christ. He will lead you and you need to be willing to follow. You should follow Him because He will lead you. This is a promise. Verse 17, He goes on from there. He says, and if children... Wow, it just keeps getting better, right? He says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Look at that, what he says. You have an incorruptible inheritance. You have an inheritance. You have become an heir with Christ. You just gotta think about this. God, I mean, it's something that we can't really wrap our heads around. That's why I'm telling you, Romans chapter 8, you can think about it, you can look at it, you can read it again and again and again, and you still won't comprehend how amazing it is.
Amen.
He says, you're made an heir.
Wow.
Amen.
God is writing out His inheritance. He's writing out what He's doing, and He says, this all belongs to Jesus Christ.
Nice.
And then right on the side of that is your name, because you're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What? And if children, then heirs. This is a promise that you have. If you're His child, then you're heirs, heirs of God. You're part of the family. This is a package deal. He's made you part of the family and now you get an inheritance with Him. Now He does say in that second part, He says, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. You know, this is a package deal, and with the package of being belonging to God's family also comes something else that Jesus Christ said would come along with this, and that is suffering. That is suffering. You, belonging to God and part of His family, will go through suffering. And if you suffer for Christ's sake, then you will be glorified with Him. This is a promise. And for that, you just go and read Peter and look at what Peter tells us about that. And Peter does tell us, you don't want to be found suffering because of your own faults. That's not where you want to be found suffering. You don't want to be found suffering because you've been in wickedness and in sin. No, that's not where you want to find yourself as suffering. As a child of God, you want to find yourself doing the right things and then suffering for doing good. And if you suffer for doing good, then you have a promise right here that you will be glorified with Him.
Amen.
You are joint heirs with Christ. That's an amazing promise too. Now we jump over to verse 26. Here is the promise of divine assistance. Look at this. He says in verse 26, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." He says, he will help you in your infirmity. You go to pray, and guess what? You just aren't that eloquent. You aren't that good at it. You're not that great at even telling God what it is you need. You're not even that good at expressing what it is your spirit is feeling. But whenever you go to pray, you have somebody, a divine intercession, and he's going to intercede for you. The Spirit itself with groanings. Groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit is groaning for you, for relief for you. You see, God cares for you so much that He Himself is recognizing what you really need, the most inner needs that you have, even if you can't express them. Even if you're weak and you can't see them, He actually intercedes for you. This is divine assistance, even in prayer, because He knows. And He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And it's not always about your will. And this is the thing, right? What are you driven by? How are you living your life? Is it by your will or is it by the will of God? This is the thing, is that even whenever you may be in your infirmity praying for things that are just for your own good, God might be, through the Spirit, interceding for you and asking for things according to the will of God. But that's an amazing prayer, that the Spirit helps our infirmities when we know not what we should pray for as we ought. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. That's an amazing promise right there. And when you go to pray, you can pray that way. Just ask God to intercede for you and that He may have His will in your life. Now, that joined together with verse 28, which is another amazing promise. Not only do you have divine assistance, but you can trust that there's a divine purpose. Verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." Wow, you know, you gotta sometimes go back and read that again. And you know what you'll find if you go back when you're going through something hard, you can go back and read that and say, hey, it's still there.
Yeah.
It's still there. What you're going through, but you can go back and trust it's still there. If you love God, you can trust that there's a divine purpose. Now, what does that require? That requires what it means by that is you have to step back and see the full picture, right? Because that's what he's saying. He says that all things work together. It doesn't say that all things are good. It says all things work together for good.
Amen.
That means you have to step back and see the bigger picture, because what you're going through right now may not be good in the moment. May not feel good. But again, he's treating you, remember, as a son. And the full purpose in the end, even though as a son you may be going through some hard things, the purpose of God in the end is to make you complete, is to do something great, and to make it all come out perfect, beautiful. Something that you may not have even expected and couldn't even imagine. But that's a promise that you have. A divine purpose for everything that's going on in your life. You can know that it all works together for good.
Amen.
To them that love Him. To them that are called according to His purpose. And for that, you can trust the promise. You can trust that God has assured completion. And that's what we find in the next verses. He says in verse 29, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." Now just think about that for a minute. This is the big picture. This is where He's saying you can step back and look. And I know what you're going through. You don't understand it. I know what you're going through. It doesn't seem so good. But if you step back and see it, you need to understand this about God. That God has a purpose, and that purpose is that He wants you to be conformed to the image of His Son. He wants you to look just like Christ.
Yes.
And you know Christ had to suffer?
Yeah.
You know that He actually had to go through suffering? So what makes us think we're going to escape that? Well, we shouldn't think we're going to escape it. But when we're going through it, it is still difficult. And when we're going through it, we need to be able to trust in this promise that God has a purpose. And His purpose is that we be conformed to the image of His Son. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And look at what we can trust in. In verse 30, He says, "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." Can you trust that God is going to finish what He started? Yes. That is a promise. That is a promise. You think God saved you, justified you, and then all of a sudden just forgot about you and left you, and you're in the middle of hardship, and you're thinking, well, God just abandoned me, He's forgotten about me, and that's it. I'm not gonna, no, God will finish what He started.
Amen.
And look at what is His finished state is He will glorify. You will be glorified. Wow, that is a promise that you can take and trust in the hardest moments. You can look at that right there and know God finishes what He started. This is an assurance of completion. God will finish it out. He started it, and He wants to make you conform to the image of His Son, and He is going to accomplish that. And what you're going through right now may just be part of that. You may just have to go through it. It may be necessary. But you can trust that God is going to finish what He started. And therefore, He says He's going to glorify. Verse 31, you just got to read this because, you know, what shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Wow. If God be for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Basically is how can we have the thoughts, how can we imagine that God is against us when we're going through difficult things? We should not have to question God and what we're going through. We shouldn't question whether God is really for us. God is for us. You can be completely convinced of that no matter what you're going through.
Amen.
How? Well, verse 32, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" I mean, come on. If God did not spare His own Son, He was willing to be sacrificed on the altar and died for you. How can you then question whatever He's got going on for you right now? There's no doubt about it. If God spared not His own Son, He's willing to give you everything. He does not have your worst interest in mind. He has your best interest in mind. And he's doing things for your good. And you can trust that promise no matter what you're going through. You know, when you start reading Romans, it's a very sad picture because it's talking about those who God is against. Those who God is against. Those who have rejected God, those that even are religious, but they're pretending to be religious and they're not really gods. I mean, God is against those, and that's bad news. But he comes down to us. He's already explained justification. He's explained all the doctrine of how a just God could forgive or be merciful to somebody who's guilty. It all happens through Jesus Christ. And now that we know that we are in Jesus Christ, boy, if God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Now, Jesus Christ did say something very interesting once. I mean, he said a lot of interesting things, but he said very interesting in Matthew chapter 10, I think it's verse 28, right? He says, fear not man who can kill the body.
Right.
And you're thinking, well, I mean, that's pretty bad. He can kill the body. But he says, fear him that can destroy both body and soul in hell.
Yeah.
What a perspective Christ had. Very different than ours. Yeah. Do you realize that somebody killing your body isn't even a great deal?
Right.
Your body being killed is not being destroyed. You see, God has saved your life from destruction. And now, no matter what anybody does, they can't do anything to you. Because even killing your body is meaningless.
Right.
It's like an upgrade. You're going to get to go to heaven, be with Christ. Killing your body isn't anything you should fear. You should fear God.
Amen.
But God is for you. He's delivered you from destruction, and now you have nothing to fear. Because if God is for you, who can be against you? No one. Now then, we have an eternal assurance in the last verses. He says in verse 33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect?
Amen.
It is God that justifieth. Listen, if you've been justified by God, you have eternal assurance.
Amen.
Eternal security. Because you're not trusting in your own self.
Right.
Are you trusting in your righteousness? Are you trusting in your own justification? Then you've got something to be worried about. But if Jesus Christ is your justification, if Jesus Christ is your righteousness, then you have eternal assurance. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No possibility of separation. What a promise. No possibility of separation. Whether you're going through some of the hardest things you've ever had to go through, and you're fighting, and there's people that are hurting you, and there are people that are maybe doing wrong to you, you can be going through anything, and you can have this assurance that there's no possibility that you are being separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That is a beautiful promise. A beautiful promise. Look at this victory that we have. This victory that is in Jesus Christ through his Spirit. The victory that we have in our God. Because if God is for us, who can be against us? We have the Spirit who's interceding for us. And we can walk in the Spirit. We're in the love that is found in Jesus Christ. There's nothing that can separate us from God. This is the victory that we have in Jesus. These are the promises that we have in Christ. And this is the beautiful promises that can take us through the difficult things we go through in life. And our life may get very difficult. We don't know what our life is going to bring. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know if tomorrow things are going to get very difficult. And we may not be able to buy or sell without having to accept the mark of the beast. But no matter what you go through, if you're suffering for righteousness' sake, if you're suffering for Christ, if you're in Christ, boy, you've got promises that you can hold on to. And you can be strong, you can be bold and confident when you go through things in life. Because the victory is already won. Amen. You already have assurance. There's an eternal assurance and no possibility of separation. There's a truth that you have and you can hold on to. There is therefore now no condemnation to those which are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
This is a beautiful chapter full of great truths, great promises in Christ, and you need to grab onto them and hold them forever. Amen. And with that, let's go ahead and finish out with a song. Let's sing Victory in Jesus. That's going to be 496 in the Red Book. We're going to sing that. We're going to praise our Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Him we have victory. And then remember, we're going to come back tonight at 7 o'clock and we're going to have the Lord's Supper remembering His sacrifice for us. 496.